Philippians chapter 4. We'll read from 1 down to verse 13. Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word to our hearts tonight. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we come tonight at the beginning of a brand new service, and we have the Word of God open again. We have to acknowledge, Lord, that it is the grace of God that has brought us safely to another service in this house, another time we can have the Scriptures opened, another time that we have been given the privilege of hearing the Word of God. Lord, bless the Scriptures to us. Let the rich promises of the Word of God be in our soul and our heart like the meat that we need to feed our souls. Let us come and bask in the sunlight of the Scriptures of truth. Lord, bless us tonight, we pray. Strengthen our hearts and minds. Help us not just to be filled with the Scriptures and then not be changed by them. Lord, let our lives be affected by the Scripture. Help us, we pray tonight. Bless every soul who's gathered in. If there are any who are unsaved, Lord, speak to their hearts this night. Let them not leave the service without meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. And those of us who know the Savior, bless our hearts, strengthen our souls, direct our vision toward our Savior. Let us not be sidetracked in the issues of life, but rather let us focus our attention upon our Lord Jesus. Hear this, our prayer tonight, and bless us, for we ask this in our Savior's name. Amen. Balaam was the prophet that was hired by Balak, the king of Moab. And he was hired for this purpose, to curse Israel. He said these words, "Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his. Jude in the New Testament speaks of those who ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. Balaam died without God, without hope, and without peace. Lot separated himself from Abraham, and he chose the fertile valley near the cities of the plain. Before long, he had moved into the city of Sodom, and he lived in the gate. His family grew up being influenced and learning the ways of the world. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." When Sodom was destroyed, just previous to that, the angels had to literally go, lay hold upon Lot and his wife, and pull them out of the city, because it is said that Lot tarried. Lot's wife was destroyed for her disobedience when she looked back. And Lot's two daughters, with all the influence of the carnal thinking, the humanistic reasoning, of the time with which they had spent in the city of Sodom, they reasoned in their own mind, "We have to raise up seed unto our father. We have to give a family for our father Lot." And so they involved themselves in an incestuous relationship with their father, both these daughters. And the product of that relationship was the birth of Moab and the birth of Ammon, two arch enemies against the children of Israel their entire history. Lot's life was ruined, and he died in great anguish and with great regret, without the peace of God's contentment in his life. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, we know their names as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image. He was the wicked ruler of Babylon, and at that time he was incensed that they would not humble themselves and bow down before his image. To his great dismay, even under tremendous pressure, they refused to bow down. They resigned themselves that they were under the hand of the Almighty God, and they said these words, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." These men of faith had the peace of God in their hearts and complete confidence in the Lord, staggering confidence in the Lord, in the face of what they were going into. They were cast into the furnace, and while they were in that furnace, heated seven times hotter than it had ever been before, there was the fourth one in there with them, the Son of God. And they were walking amidst the flames. And when they came out from that furnace, not a hair on their head was singed. Not even was the smell of smoke upon their clothing. They had the peace of God that passed all human understanding. So you think you have stress today. You think you have problems. I wonder how you would have fared standing with those three Hebrew children. I have brought you three examples tonight. One of Balaam, one of Lot, and one of these three children. The first one, Balaam, died without Christ. He had no peace in his heart. The second one, Lot, he died without the contentment of the peace of God because of a backslidden life because of a heart grieved over sin. And the third example, the victorious walk of young people, young men who had committed their life, their heart, their soul, their everything to Christ. And He blessed them. And they had that confidence deep in their soul. They knew the God whom they served. I ask for your patience for a moment tonight, for those of you who are here this morning, because I want to give a necessary review, for there are folks here tonight who are not part of the message in the service this morning. There was a reason for the great anxiety that had troubled the people of God in history. There is a reason for the anxiety that you and I go through in our day-to-day life. And with much of that upon my mind over this last week, in searching and seeking for the Lord's Word, on the Friday evening, as I set my head upon my pillow, those words, "peace with God," came into my heart. And I knew the text and the message that I had to speak for the Lord's Day here, but I didn't realize just how the connection was between the two verses of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Let's read them. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And my mind was focusing on those words, the peace of God. But as you can see by the connection of the two verses, you can't really deal with one verse without dealing with the other one. Because verse 6 is the cause of our peace. And verse 7 is the effect that it brings. We looked this morning at three simple points. The gracious prohibition. The gracious prohibition. Be careful for nothing. It's a command of God. And then secondly, the all-inclusive intercession. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And then thirdly, the generous invitation, let your requests be made known unto God. And that little conjunction follows, and which leads to the cause of contentment, of realizing that God is in control, and we have His gracious invitation to come, to pray, and to leave all our care and our need at the throne of grace. "Tell me all that troubles you and stirs your heart," the Lord says. "Let all your requests, even though they seem so small, even though they seem so foolish to an intellectual world, bring them to me. Bring all of them. Bring them to the Lord who is your Redeemer, the Holy One that takes intimate interest in the situation of your heart, those things that you have prayed for and committed unto God, those requests over things that make you anxious and troubled and filled with care. Bring them to the throne of grace," the Lord invites us. And He says, "the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." The cause, anxiety, bring our prayers, our supplication, with thanks to the Lord and all our requests. And when we follow that simple remedy, the Lord says, you will have peace in your heart. Christian, do you seek after peace in your heart? Let's take a moment and define exactly what peace is by the Scriptures. It means quiet, tranquility, a mental calm, serenity. The first mention of the word peace in the Bible is found in Genesis 15 and 15. And the Hebrew word is shalom, Solomon's name. Peace. And it says in Genesis 15:15, "And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. And that promise was given to Abraham. Thou shalt go to thy fathers in shalom, in peace, in contentment, in tranquility. It is used in a variety of ways in the Old Testament expressing blessings on journeys. It is used to express peace offerings many, many times in the Old Testament. Peace offerings, those things that were brought, a voluntary sacrifice of thanks unto God. That's what it means, a peace offering. And in Psalm 37 and verse 11, it says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Abundance of peace. In the New Testament, it is literally to join together. It also means prosperity, quietness, and rest. And it is first used in Matthew 10, verse 13. "And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return." And the word there in Matthew is the same word in our text in Philippians 4 and verse 7. And it was when the disciples went out and the Lord gave them power and authority and told them to go. And if they were to come to a house or a town and that house received them, then the peace that they were going to have would rest upon that. That tranquility, that blessing, that prosperity would be upon that place. Now in the phrase of Philippians chapter 4, it is the peace of God. The prosperity and the quietness and the rest of God is promised to be the portion of all those who are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. At one time, you and I were without Christ, being aliens and strangers, without hope, without God in the world, without any peace, of course. But as Paul said to the Ephesians in chapter 2, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace." Christ is our peace. Do you have tonight, my friend, the peace of God in your heart? If you do not know Jesus, then you do not have this peace in your heart. And let me suggest to you this evening that the only way that you will ever understand what true peace is in your life is by surrendering your heart and giving yourself over unto Christ. Because when you do that, your heart will be flooded with the joy of the Lord, for you know your sins have been forgiven. And that is the only pathway to peace. My man in general seeks after peace of mind and existence, but he by nature is enmity or hatred against the Lord. He is against God. He seeks not after the Lord. But when the Holy Spirit subdued our hearts, when the Lord opened our minds to see just exactly who the Lord was, and we surrendered ourselves unto Him, the great burden was lifted. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. You sang that before the service started tonight. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Ah, but friend, at the moment your sin is a great burden upon your back, and you carry that burden with you, and there is no release of that burden to you until you come and you give your heart and life to Christ. And then He will take your sin from you and it will be gone. That burden will be lifted. That burden will be taken away. But I address my comments to the believer now. Perhaps you've lost the sense of the Lord's peace in your life. Perhaps that contentment, the peace of God, is not there. It's not what it used to be. You look back to a time in your life when there was a sweet fellowship with the Lord, but it's gone now. What has happened? Where is it gone? Why do you not enjoy that peace of the Lord that you once had? Is it because of familiarity with the things of the Lord? Is it because of coming to the house of God out of habit week after week? And you fill your seat, but you don't prepare your heart to come to the house of God. The hymn book is open, but you don't really sing with your heart. It's going through the motions. And we are all able, and we all fall into that some degree or another in our lives and our experience with the Lord. But that when it goes on week after week and month after month, your soul is heavy. And you're weighted down. And the familiarity with the house of the Lord has taken over. And there is a great carelessness for spiritual things. The encroachment of the world has come upon you. Things that once did not attract you now have a pull and a hold upon your mind, your life. The coldness of heart and the loss of communion with Christ has taken over. The loss of desire for Scripture and for prayer is not there anymore. You are now filled with a great deal of anxiety. You're filled with care. Ah, friend, what are you to do? Then let your mind and heart become subservient to the simple teaching of these verses. And forsake those cares that profit little, but they grieve you much. And pray, and praise, and thank the Lord, and come with your petitions, your requests. And let the peace of God be restored in your life. Do you think, my friend, tonight, that the Lord delights to hold back His peace from you? Do you not see the heart of God and of Christ is to open to you His storehouse of blessing and see that you are walking close to Him again? But you're distant. You do not enjoy and feed upon the peace of the Lord. Ah, my friend, tonight, let that peace be restored in your soul. That peace of God and the peace of God. And we look on secondly, because it says, which passeth all understanding. And this we see the excellence of this. Passeth here is a word that simply means to excel or to go beyond human understanding. Our words will fall very short in trying to explain that which is the unexplainable. When the Scripture describes something as surpassing human understanding, it means that it is beyond definition to properly encompass the full meaning of the Word of God. And here, friends, is the excellency of the peace of God that thought cannot properly describe. It cannot be adequately defined. And yet, it can be gloriously possessed. And here is the mystery of Scripture. You can't identify and define something completely. You can put your finger on it. You know in your heart it is real. You have experienced the peace of God. But it goes beyond our human understanding. It goes beyond our ability to properly define it. And yet if someone was to say to you, do you have the peace of the Lord in your soul? How is it manifested? Well, you know some areas and how it's manifested. It's manifested in the joy that you have in your heart. It's manifested in the desire that you have to pray. It's manifested in the desire you have to witness to others of your faith in Christ. It's a living faith, a real and vital connection and union you have with Christ. Yes, you could begin to see the fruits of it in your life. But it is a mystery. It's something that the carnal and the natural man cannot understand. A mystery that man is, he's unable to explain it. You know, it's interesting because man can explain the very complex forces of this universe. He tries to explain things, and yet the peace of God, it remains in a file, not yet understood. But like the secret of the Lord, It is given to those who know Him. And as we know Him, we know what that peace is. And we have that in our hearts. And that we can testify, it surpasses. It goes beyond our understanding. It goes beyond that which we can put definition to, but we know it in our hearts. We can taste and see. Understanding is comprehension. And in order to comprehend, there must be a knowledge of the thing to begin with. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Not only does this surpass the natural man, it also goes past the regenerated to fully define it. We who taste and know, it is known in the heart, it is possessed in the being, but it's something that we cannot fully explain. Let's think finally about its work. Because it says in our text, it shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What is the work of this peace? Well, the first thing that comes to us from that section of the verse is the promise of protection that the Lord gives. The promise of protection. For it says, it shall keep your hearts and minds. The Lord promises to protect us through His peace. And that peace of God, which passes our understanding, will indeed be a keeper. It will be like a guard standing by our minds. It will be a protection so that nothing can come through without first of all getting by that guard. The guard of the peace of God. I'll tell you, friend, when you're in the time of great extremity, you will find that the peace of God is like a sentry that is guarding your mind and heart. It is there as a great protection. It is like the angel that stood outside the Garden of Eden with the sword moving in every direction. For the Lord has promised His protection, and the peace of God shall keep. But there's something else here. It is the promise of preservation. He shall keep your hearts and your minds. Your heart and your mind. This is the most important part of the person. You notice it doesn't say your bodies. But the peace of the Lord will keep your heart and it will keep your mind. For this speaks about the inner man. It speaks about the spiritual man. And is that not the real man? For this body that will die and go to a grave and return to the dust is just the house. But it's what's in the house, the spirit, that is the real part of the man. And the Lord has said that His peace in this, He promises preservation of the keeping of our minds, of the keeping of our hearts. Many, many elderly people have lost their faculties. They have lost their abilities to reason. They have lost their memories. They cannot remember things that they did yesterday. Ah, but you mention the name of Jesus. You mention to them, what does the Lord mean to you? And you will see in their faces a brightness. You will see the light coming to their faces. Why? Because the Lord has promised He will keep their hearts, that's the spiritual center, and their minds, which is the point of cognizance, of knowing. And the Lord has given us that promise of His protection and of the preservation. Oh, my friend, does that not give you a sense of joy? You possess your faculties now. But there may well come a time when you do not have the possession of these things. And how sad it is for those people who feel that it depends upon them having knowledge and all their resources together if they'll ever get to heaven. It's not what the Lord says. For His salvation goes much beyond that. For He has promised to keep not just with our full understanding, but He keeps the soul and the heart, and He protects it, and He preserves it, and He will take it through unto that final day. For our salvation was not ours in the getting. It was not our making to get salvation, nor will it be ours to keep it. For if it was up to us to keep our faith or our salvation or our mind or the peace of God, we could never do it. No, friends, this is the work of grace. This is the work of the Spirit of God in protecting and preserving. And you'll notice the final part of this verse. It says, through Christ Jesus. And oh, what a capstone to put upon this verse and upon this subject today. It is through the person of Jesus Christ, and all that we might bask in the sunlight of the wonder of our Savior. May we come tonight and realize that every mercy and blessing and possession that we have has come to us through Christ. It is only the merit of the Lord and what He did on the cross work for us. We are able to stand today and say, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. He has the responsibility of keeping. It is the fact that I have been brought into Christ, and He has made peace through the blood of His cross. And today, friend, I rejoice that I have peace with God, and I have the peace of God. Do you have peace with God tonight? You will never know the peace of God until, first of all, you have peace with God. And peace with God can only be understood if you come through the person of Jesus Christ. And all for us believers, we can rejoice and rest and trust Him in this tonight. For He has promised to keep our hearts and our minds through our Savior. Will it just be kept for time? No, it will be kept for eternity. It was not ours in the making. It is not ours in the keeping. For He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. And today we have great cause and reason for resting in the Lord our God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Let's close our service tonight by singing a hymn, a very well-known hymn, number 371. Number 371. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Let's stand to sing this prayerfully tonight.
Gracious God, we come tonight without words to properly express the feeling and sentiment of our hearts. How we thank Thee, Lord, for saving our souls, for washing us from all our sin, for bringing us into Christ to taste and experience and see that the Lord is gracious and good to us. We thank Thee we do not rest in our own efforts to get to the other side of death and into eternal life. But tonight, Lord, we rejoice in the fact that the work has been finished. It has been completed. And we are in the Beloved. Father, we pray that our lives would bear such a testimony. Our faces would shine with the light and the glory of heaven. So that when we speak to others, when we have dealings with people who do not know the Savior, that they would see there is a difference in those people. They have been to Jesus, and that is the difference. And, O God, may our lives be testimonials, and may there be evidence clearly, abundantly manifest in our life, that we are governed by the peace of God that passes all understanding. Lord, Thou dost know the need of the hour. Thou dost know the hearts of every child of God here in this place tonight. And we pray that those who are burdened under a great difficulty or problem, that they would come under the shadow and the light and the blessing of the peace of the Lord. Father, we pray again tonight for any in our meeting who do not know the Savior, that they would come to taste this night and know what it is to be born again of the Spirit of God. Hear us now, Lord, we pray, and part us in Thy fear and with the blessing of God upon us. For these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.